about, we were here last week. Fox shared that they spoke from morning till noon, so I hope you guys are very comfortable this week. No, I'm joking. So I'm up here today, and I know I'm not perfect. None of us are. No, please. And I see blind spots in people around me, and I've come to realize that these two have been blind spots in my own eyes. And I'm certain that I want to move forward in this, and I'm sure you do too. So if you guys open your Bible, we're going to be speaking about a well-known passage today. If you open that Bible or on that smartphone of yours, the heading is going to be Taming the Tongue. So let's open to James chapter 3. It's that coffee book in the Bible, Hebrews, and then James chapter 3. And I believe we can take amazing insights from this. And because if you are a Christian, you're going to want to tune your tongue so that God can shine His light through the way that we speak and what rolls off of our tongues. So I believe this is an important message for us, and that God really wants to help us in this area. So James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because the teachers at Faramir Primary are gifted with a lot of patience. Does it say? No, it doesn't. Let's carry on. Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts one whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Sure, we see these ear-tickling bumper stickers, I can do all things. But we don't see that, friends. And is itself set on fire by hell. Let's carry on, verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's close our eyes. So Father, this morning, I want to ask for your help, Lord. I want to ask that you speak to every one of us, Lord. Spirit, you are welcome here. You know exactly where we're all at. I want to ask that you would use this word to strengthen us, to deal with us, Lord, in this area, that it would bring about a great harvest in the school hall. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as Christians, we mostly want to set things on fire, yes? We want to set lives on fire, buildings on fire, marriages on fire. And sometimes, on a Sunday morning, speaking to an unresponsive crowd, we want to set our buildings on fire. No. So what James is really showing us here is a fire starter manual, or a key to really set things on fire by using our tongues. And according to James, out of all the parts of the body, your tongue is the most important part. For like a bit in the horse's mouth, your tongue is able to steer your whole body. So powerful that your tongue is able to steer your life, your marriage, your finance, your family, in either a good destination or a bad one. So a few months ago, it was my 3-year clean time anniversary. And leading up to this date, thank you. I'm being a little bit vulnerable. So leading up to this date, I was told that it would be a tough time in my recovery. Yeah, Brad, 3 years, eh? Well, I remember. It was tough for me. And I was told to be extra careful. And I let the words of those around me affect my life that it would indeed become one of the toughest times of my recovery. I was so hard on myself because what people had spoken over my life. And after that, so if I can say that silly date had gone by, if things went like back to normal. Because there's power in the words. There's power what people say. And if you're a follower of Jesus, your tongue has even more power. Because the moment you are saved, God starts to live inside of us. And the very God that spoke this world into creation by his mouth is the one that lives inside of us. And now this gives weight, it gives credibility, and it gives power to our words, far more than we actually realize. And especially when we start to speak life and things over circumstances or situations. And does God not say that his words will not return void? That he will accomplish everything that he has set out to do? Friends, I don't think we get this. I don't think we truly understand this. But here's the amazing thing, is that Jesus understood this. Jesus got it. Because Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. He says that on the day of judgment, everyone will give an account for every careless word they spoke. Why? Because friends, your words have the power to shape, to create, to transform, to build up, but to also break down, to gossip, to edify, to encourage. So last week, Sunday night, one of the young men in my group, he's here today, I said I wouldn't mention his name. So one of the young men in my group, he came to the next step in his recovery. And as a group of leaders, we called him up and we honored him. Not only did we make him aware that this was going to be a tough next step in his recovery, but we prayed over him. And we prayed encouraging words over his life. So in 2019, what have you used your words for? Because your words have far more power than what you think they have. Power to bring about life and power to bring about death. Okay, so what I'd like to highlight in this text that we've just read are three pictures. Thanks to my grade 5 teacher, it will be on the board, the projector. There we go. Okay, so we see three pictures, friends. The first one, we see the tongue is like a bit in the horse's mouth, able to steer the whole creature. The next one, we see the tongue being compared to the rudder of a ship, and this is able to steer the whole ship. And thirdly, we see the tongue is like a spark or a flame, able to set a whole forest alight. So basically, we see three things. We see the tongue is like a steering wheel, able to steer living things like that horse. It's able to steer dead things like that ship with all its cargo and crew. And it's able to set a whole forest alight. So let's start with the horse. Okay, so this is something you may or may not know. That horse is not born with that thing in its mouth. That could possibly make the birth process a little bit more complicated. No, you have to train it. You have to break it in. You have to make it obey you. And I'm sure we all have those horse stories. Like my beautiful girlfriend, yeah. She fell off a horse at a young age and like very badly hurt her back. But because as a young and maybe a naughty horse. So even some horses with that bridle in its mouth are not easy to lead. You see, but it's those champion horses, those useful horses, the ones with the bits in its mouth that go directly where the rider wants it to go. And those are the horses we celebrate, the ones with the smallest bits in their mouth, and they go exactly where the rider wants it to go. And this, for me, such a beautiful picture of discipleship of a Christian life. Because no one's born wanting to obey God. No, that is why we need to be born again, to actually receive a new nature, a new heart, and so that we can put God's bridle in our mouths so that he can steer us and direct us the way he wants us to go. So we come to God like an unbridled horse at salvation, and we receive a bridle so that we can be steered in the direction that leads to life. And yes, it does feel different. It does feel uncomfortable. Who has a pen? Anyone? There we go. Or your finger. Please do this. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Well, we have to get used to it. It's just something we have to get used to be led by the Spirit and not by our flesh and desires. Because the destination we are heading towards, if we learn to respond and to obey to his tuggings, is the way that leads to life, a way to a great inheritance, accepting his will and his guidance for our lives. So sadly, many don't want to take up this yoke. Many don't want to accept this bit by running wild and unbridled lives. And the context here is that we want to set things on fire, yes? And if I want to set things on fire, I have to be bridled. So once I am bridled, then I can be steered. And once I can be steered, sparks will start to fly. And things will get ignited. You see, friends, we want to go out and change cities and families and nations, but we want to live like unbridled horses. Friends, what are the unbridled areas in your life? What are the unbridled areas in my life? Unbridled sexuality. Unbridled in finance. Unbridled in discipline. Unbridled in terms of greed. In eating. In entertainment. So what are you watching before you go to bed late at night? Again, friends, we want to change things. Sorry, I keep losing my place here. Again. So we want to set things on fire, yes? But like James is saying, we need to accept a life which is bridled by being led by the smallest of tug, by Jesus. So do you know how we get control of these areas? Now clearly, as you know, it's not through your own willpower. No, not my will, yours. Actually surrendering your whole body to the Holy Spirit's leading. So God is constantly trying to lead us. The question is, what type of horse are you? What type of horse am I? A bridled or unbridled? Testing? Are we alive? Cool. So, are you easy to lead or hard and stubborn, like a rodeo horse or like a Benoni pony? So, how does this work? James says, if anyone wants to follow me, we know this, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross daily and follow me. This means you need me to lead you where I want you to go. And like a horse, this means the daily acceptance of this bit in our mouths. Even the horse that has been trained and that has done everything the rider has ever asked it to do. Tonight, they take that bit out. And tomorrow morning, that bit needs to be put back again. Because if too many days go by and that bit is not put back in that horse's mouth, that horse will very quickly go back to its old ways. So a bit changes an unbridled horse into a bridled horse. And here's the amazing thing, is that Jesus will not force this bridle into our mouths. No. He gives us the freedom, the choice to receive it willingly. He wants you to realize that the place he wants to lead you to is the place that leads to life. The place of abundance. The place of blessing, of favor, of usefulness for his purpose. Will you surrender to him? Will you allow him to steer you into the areas that he wants to take you? So the question I have is, have you accepted his bridle? Who is steering you? Only Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, can steer us into a life and a good future, a great future in God. And maybe you're sitting here today and you put that bit or your finger in your mouth, but you've never really truly accepted that bit for your life. And today, now that your eyes have been opened, and you're saying, oh, I want that bit in my life, Brad. I want us all just to close our eyes. Maybe you're saying, yeah, Brad, I accepted that bit a while ago, but like that horse, I never put it back again. Friends, I want us to respond not to me, but to God. Everyone's eyes are closed. If you're saying you want that bit for your life right now, I want you guys just to raise your hands. No one's watching. God can see you, friends. Don't worry about that person next to you. Raise your hands. I want you guys to pray after me. Holy Spirit, we ask that you put that bit into our mouths. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me into a great future in God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's steering living things. And the next thing we have is steering dead things or lifeless things. So the next thing, once we start to live a bridled life, the next thing that happens is that God can start steering situations with your tongues. So firstly me, and now that I'm bridled, he can start to steer other areas in my life. And like James is saying, the rudder of the ship is the smallest part of the ship, but that determines where the whole ship is going. So let's take a little bit of a case study. Okay, so Israel was delivered from Egypt. So God put in their GPS Canaan, and that's where God wanted them to go. But what happened? They kept resisting and refusing God's direction. And they just kept going in circles and circles. And you know that little lady
stuck in your GPS or your Garmin, and she says those words, rerouting or recalculating or rerouting. We don't have that one. That's actually an Old Testament thing, believe it or not. No, I'm joking. Because they kept on resisting or rerouting for 40 years in the desert. And that's the thing, friends. If you are not bridled, God will try to steer us into the promises and the purpose He has got for us. But if we keep resisting God's purpose, we won't get there. So how did this happen? Yes, it was their tongues. The very thing that was, the very rudder that was supposed to steer them into the direction that God wanted for them, was the very thing that steered them away from the promises of God. So what differentiated the 2 spies from the 10 spies was their tongues. Yes, it said that they brought a bad report, and how that bad report misled a whole congregation, a whole group of people away from the promises of God, back to Egypt, back to the familiar. So what is the lesson here? Your tongues, friends, our tongues are far more important than what we think they are. Because your tongue is actually the rudder that God wants to use. Not only to steer you, but also to steer your situation, your area of influence, us as a community, all those around you towards a godly inheritance to Him. And like those Israelites delivered from slavery in Egypt, us too, we too have been delivered from our former life. And if you've been born again, born from above, through faith in Christ, you have a new destination. There's a new future, a new adventure ahead. And again, friends, the question is, will I allow His bridle to be led by Him, and that He can start to use me as a rudder? So where is He steering us to? Christ-likeness, maturity. And I love what the old theologian Spurgeon says. He says, he who lives for any reward in this life is not yet mature. Sure, such an interesting take on maturity. He's steering us to a wholehearted desire to do His will. How incredible. The Creator of the universe wants to partner up with us, wants to be joined with us to do something great in our community. And it's all about surrendering our whole bodies as a tool, as an instrument to be used by God, so that He can steer us into the direction that He wants for us. And you might be saying, yeah, a bit and a rudder means really nothing, Brad, if there's no momentum. And sometimes we do think we aren't moving forward. But you know this thing called a watch? You know that it's actually not standing still. Because every second of every day, you are being steered towards something. And it begs the question, to what are you steering your life towards, your relationship, your family towards? Okay, so listen carefully. What if I told you, over the next 24 hours, you will receive everything that you said over the last week? Okay, I'm going to repeat that. What if I told you, you would receive everything you said over the next 24 hours about the last week? What would you get, friends? Oh, I wish you weren't my father. I wish I could just give up. So I never want to see them again. Would you be more careful about what you say, friends? Who you say what to? Life or death is in the power of the tongue. So let me show you how God has set you up as a rudder, right as you are. And some will complain, oh, Brad, but I'm the only Christian in my house or my family. Or like Josh in his school. No, praise God then, because there's a rudder. Small rudder can steer a big dead ship. And you often think, oh, can one man do something? Can one woman do anything? Can one person make a difference? Absolutely. If you accept the bridle and allow God to steer you in the direction that He wants for you. Oh, but I'm not the boss, Brad. I'm not the husband, the wife, or the leader of the group. Yeah, you might not be. But if there is a rudder, friends, God can steer you. And if the tongues of those 10 spies can steer a whole generation away from the promises of God, then imagine the words of those 2 spies could have done in steering generations towards the promises of God. And not seeing them reroute or redirect in the desert for 40 years. Oh, but my situation's too big, Brad. It's so hopeless. And sometimes we often think of the situation as being so hopeless. How big is that situation? Is it a dead situation? As big as that oil tanker? As big as a cruise ship? God says, don't worry, friends. As long as there's a rudder, even God can steer that cruise ship. So in conclusion, only those who accept the bridle of Jesus will be used as a rudder. You see, the bridle is for you and me, and the rudder is for our situation. So if you accept the bridle, if you take up his yoke, you will become a rudder. And listen here, Captain Jesus will steer your ship, your hopeless situation with all of its cargo and crew, into a destination that he wants to take you to. And that brings us to our third picture. Sparks will start to fly. And you know, the beautiful thing is that when we accept this bridle and God starts steering us, there will be opposition. There will be resistance. So don't think it's a strange thing. Don't think, oh, poor me, Lord, what have I done wrong? No, friends. It's because you've done everything right that there's sparks, that there's opposition. And here's the beautiful thing about those sparks and opposition is that God uses those sparks to ignite others around you. So Freedom Church, let's every day choose to put that bit into our mouths. Let God use us as a rudder. And in sometimes stormy seas or hopeless situation, because my tongue, because your tongue has the potential to set a whole forest alight, to change a community, a city, so that the glory of God can come as we move forward in this. In Jesus' name, amen.